I want to get a chance to visit with Rick Guillen. I've known Rick for a number of years. Rick has worked in a lot of different capacities. And what? He gives me that look. Like, we did work in media together before, but
Rick, yes, we did.
Good to have you on News and Views.
Thanks for having me, Joel.
Tell people where you're working now.
Well, I'm a director for a group called North Dakota Voters First, and we're working on fair redistricting, legislative redistricting in North Dakota, and we worked on some anti-voter suppression issues this spring during the legislative session.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're out there trying to protect people's right to vote and what they're voting for, right?
We are, and that's really important right now, as I think a lot of people know if you follow the news. It's an important issue.
And you don't care how they vote, what political party they're from, any of that. You just want to make sure that it's as easy as possible to vote.
Right. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit 501c4 that deals with mainly voting issues. And so, yeah, I mean, we have advocates on all sides of the aisle that talk to us, and we're advocating right now for fair redistricting in North Dakota for all North Dakotans, because on Thursday, 10 a.m. at the state capitol, the first working redistricting committee meeting kicks off. And so we're going to be tracking that and encouraging folks to also track that and just see that we get a fair legislative map in North Dakota this time around.
So let's walk through that. Some people would call it gerrymandering. Some people, well, I think that's probably the best way to describe it. But
that's the naughty word. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And it happens, and it's so unbelievable. Describe to people what you're working on when it comes to stopping this gerrymandering.
Well, yeah, gerrymandering is when they basically take the legislative maps and make it an incumbent or a special interest machine where they can reelect their same political party or elect their same political party. Joel, you know gerrymandering more than most because you served in the state Senate for quite a long time.
I was gerrymandered.
Yeah, you were.
There's no better example of legislative districts and gerrymandering than what I and Jerry Kelch went through.
Yeah, that is a good example of that. Yep. Exactly.
I mean, they literally carved up Hankinson. I mean, they took the population base in every way. They drew lines. This blocks in, that blocks out, and it wasn't a straight line. It was okay. Now we got enough to put Heitkamp and Kelch in the same district. I mean, it was that bad.
Yeah. And, you know, according to the U.S. Constitution, those lines need to be compact and contiguous. Contiguous meaning that borders kind of need to match up. And what you've seen in the past is just squiggly lines, notches, those special things, those special cutouts. And we're going to fight against that this time. This is a big deal. It only happens every 10 years. I know this is a really boring issue. I'm trying to make it as exciting as possible. Hopefully that goes well. But you know, there's a lot of information on our social media pages, on our Facebook page, North Dakota Voters First, and Twitter, on this issue, a lot of points, a lot of links. We're encouraging people Thursday to watch the live stream video of the committee meeting. It starts at 10 a.m., goes till 4 p.m., and they're accepting public testimony at 3 p.m. that day.
You know, here's the other thing. It diminishes the work of the legislature. When you sit there and say, okay, who's our legislators? And you have no idea.
Yeah.
Because you've got one county carved into three different legislative districts.
Yes.
That it's just ridiculous. You know, you take counties with less population, Lemoore, Logan, counties like that, and then you potentially carve them up so that you can just get certain legislators to have to run against each other. I mean, another example, ladies and gentlemen, of what I think Rick is talking about, and certainly what I would give, is what they did in District 25, which is Wahpeton, okay? They took, and Wes Belter did not want the people, he didn't want to deal with the people anti-diversion. Okay, he didn't want to have to advocate for them. He didn't want to have to work on behalf of them. So he took those top townships north of 46 who had nothing in common with Richland County. no governance, no township organization, nothing. And he put them into District 25 so that he wouldn't have to deal with them. And it was that plain, that simple. And now those people really feel as though, okay, Cass County doesn't represent them. You know, Richland County,
right.
You know, we get forgotten by Richland County type thing. And it's just, it's excluding people from a process is what it is.
Right. And even out west in Dunn County, I believe Dunn County's in three districts, and that gets into the U.S. Constitution saying that we need to respect communities of interest. Well, in the past, especially in 2011, where they exempted draft maps from public view entirely, that goes against what the U.S. Constitution says. So we're going to be watching them this time. Like I said, this only happens every 10 years. And speaking of rural districts, we really want to get into a concept to push the debate of split House districts, because in Minnesota, this works really well. Take, for instance, District 4, Kent Eakin, and then for the House, there's 4A and 4B. So Heather Keeler is Moorhead, and then Paul Marquardt is 4B, which is kind of that rural area of that district. And it really works well for large rural districts. There's going to be a there's been a population shift in North Dakota from rural to urban, according to the census release last week. And so rural districts are going to be getting larger. Even if they go to more districts, they're going to be getting larger. And we feel that split districts for the House would really be helpful for good government and representation for folks.
So let's use South Central or Southwest North Dakota, either one of those two.
Yes.
Huge, you know, not very populous, right?
Yeah.
You know, Logan, Edmonds, Lemoore, Dickey, some of those counties where, you know, great people, but, you know, not a lot of people, right?
District 28, and then in southwestern North Dakota, you have District 39, which is huge.
39, you need an airplane to get where you're going, right?
You do, and 31 is large, too. And District 31 has a lot of communities of interest because you have towns like Regent, where my family is from, and then the Native American Reservation with Standing Rock. And so there are just a lot of things to take into consideration with this process.
Well, and that I guess, is what piqued my interest when you were saying that, you know, split the House, because if you're sitting there in Bowman and in Hettinger versus way north of Dickinson, for example, now you're in Watford City and some of those areas.
Yep.
You know, what do they know about what's going on in Bowman and Hettinger? And if you say, hey, can you come up here for a meeting tonight? They go, well, that's a 2.5-3 hour drive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
And you've been there because District 26, your district is quite large, but District 39 is probably three times that size.
Right.
So it's pretty incredible.
It's about representation.
Absolutely.
And about common sense. Here's the other part. The gerrymandering comes because of terrible partisan politics. It doesn't come because of the best interests of the people.
Exactly.
The problem that the Republicans have is that it's worked. And so this time when they build under this new census that they have, the cities have gained. Fargo, Bismarck, Minot, Williston, for example, these cities have gained. And so there's going to be more legislative seats. And so when they look to some of these rural areas, what you just described is going to get worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, District 39, you almost need a plane to get back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Like in our particular case, what is the number going to be? Is it going to be about 16,000? How many? The target number for people per district.
Well, if they stay with a 47 district map like right now, it's going to be, I think, 16,500.
Okay.
And it's going up from 14,000.
So now, and what we're talking about is how many people live in that district.
Right.
So there's a little bounce here and there. They did that to me. They used the high end just to be able to justify putting I and Jerry Kelsch in the district together. But, I mean, here's... At one point, ladies and gentlemen, I advocated for, and I still believe it's the right thing, to have less districts. You know, I know that I didn't win, that was unpopular, all of those type of things. But I think with less districts, you have more. I mean, if you went to any other state and said 16,000 people per district, they'd just laugh you out of the place, you know, and then split the House members so that they are close. Yeah, I don't know why that's a bad thing. I don't.
But it's not.
237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. That's our Laney's News and Views studio line. Rick Gian is here. Rick and his group are out there trying to make a difference when it comes to gerrymandered districts and how you're being represented in some of those rural areas, and well, actually anywhere, when it comes to representation. Rick, a question comes in and says, how is the current committee to set up districting formed?
Well, it's chosen by the majority in the legislature, which is the, you know, the supermajority is the Republican Party. They own 85% of the legislature. That committee is made up of 16 members, 14 of which are Republicans, and two are Democrats. So,
how many are Native American?
Zero.
There's Native Americans in a legislature.
Yep, there are. And and there are four Native American reservations in North Dakota,
which has a big population growth.
Yes.
I mean, they're one of the population growths out there.
And they're underrepresented.
What's the breakdown, what I would call urban rural?
You know, I'm not sure on that. I'd have to look at that. But, you know, the urban legislators are gonna grow, and that's part of the reason why we're pushing for the split districts.
Now, let me give you an example, ladies and gentlemen, how this goes, okay? They pick out certain areas where they carve them out saying, I don't want to represent that area anyway. And when I say they, I mean people like Al Carlson. Al Carlson did this before, and I know he guest hosts for me, but the attitude I have on this show is for you to hear from everyone, right? It's your job to challenge Al. I just did. So here's the point. The point is, we don't want to represent new Americans. We don't want to represent Native Americans. We don't want to, you know, and so we'll have this done in a way so that, hey, they're not in our district because they might not vote for us anyway. Now, in the end, that caught up to Al because he got beat. Right?
He did.
But the point being that as you go about and carve these districts out, I made reference to Wes Belter. Wes came from Leonard. He moved to Fargo, right? He didn't want any of that area where you had to physically do the work, where you had to get up in the morning and find a way to help the people on the south end of the diversion so that they weren't continually getting slapped around by Fargo. That was work. That was work. Abby's father, Perry Miller, worked his butt off as a Richland County commissioner to do something about that. You know, and in my own personal take on it, you folks in Oxbow, shame on you. Because in the end, I saw how the vote totals went in that township, and I saw who worked for you and who never did a damn thing for you. And so that's fine. You can vote strictly party line all you want. But the districts were drawn in a way so that certain people at the time, it's like, I want this. I want this. Now, you take Richland County. I know that's home for me, but I'll go back and give an example of that. Richland County should not have those townships north of Highway 46 that are in Cass County. Richland County is a county of 16,000 people, okay? A big test for me of how they do this is if they put Jason Heitkamp in the same district as Larry Lewick. And if they're short, then go west a little bit because they have more in common. Put Rutland in. Put Cayuga, Geneseo, areas like that in. But to say that they have anything in common with Cass County when they're constantly at war, it's unforgivable, Rick.
And that's that communities of interest thing we're talking about. And unfortunately, these things happen, and they've happened. And 2011 was really bad. Speaking of Al Carlson, he had a quote in an Associated Press article in 2011 saying that he basically used the process to elect more Republicans. Now you might be saying, well, Rick, you're getting real partisan here. Well, no, these are facts. You can look up the quotes. You can go to, you know, our social media pages, look it up in the Bismarck Tribune. It's a November 11th Associated Press article from 2011. And so, yes, unfortunately, these things happen, and it's that naughty word gerrymandering again.
So in the 40 seconds I have left, how's Legislative Council doing in terms of people that you're talking to and with right now, being able to monitor this thing and watch?
Yeah, Legislative Council has done a tremendous job with video streaming and those services last session and with these upcoming committee meetings, these interim meetings. And so we're really encouraging folks on Thursday for the first redistricting committee to watch the stream online. And thank you again to those legislative council
they
folks.
They do a great job.
That
they do.
So hard.
Somebody said there are not four districts. There are five reservations, they're saying, in North Dakota, not including the Trenton Indian Service Area. And this is from a Turtle Mountain area. We'll talk about that. So.